This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, Joe. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Where you at? I'm Dan Day. Omnipresent on social media at Dan Day Radio, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hit me up. We'll ride and slide all around. And we're going to be riding and sliding with some Joe Rose Show. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to hear them talking about the Dolphins' newest addition, Isaiah Wilson, with Cameron Wolf. Greeny, he is talking with Dan Orlovsky about Dak Prescott. And then Hawk and Crowder, they're rubbing elbows with Clay Ferrero about Myers Leonard's maybe slip of the lip. Let's slip into these headlines right now, though. The Dolphins and Titans are in talks to send first-round O-lineman Isaiah Wilson and a 2022 seventh-round pick to Miami for a 2021 seventh-round pick. Wilson must pass the physical for the deal to go through. Sources report that Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have reached a four-year, $160 million deal. $126 million is guaranteed, and he gets a $66 million signing bonus. Four-star running back Cody Brown has committed to Miami. The Georgia prep star was originally committed to Tennessee. The Heat are rumored to have increased interest in Magic forward Nikola Vucevic. Miami resumes play Thursday against Orlando. In spring training baseball, the Marlins tied the Cardinals yesterday 7-7. Miami plays tomorrow against the Astros at 6. Inter Miami has signed Lewis Morgan to a contract extension. Details on the club MVP winger's deal have not been released. The Panthers play Columbus tonight at 7. Florida is currently third in the Central Division. The U takes on FAU tonight on the baseball diamond. First pitch, Mark Light Field, pretty much now, 6 o'clock. Les Miles is no longer the head football coach at Kansas after it was revealed he had inappropriate behavior with a female student while coaching at LSU years ago. Miles was 3-18 in two seasons at Kansas. And now, let's go ahead and take a step into the day spa. A North Carolina woman who was an adopted child began digging into her past only to find that her biological father was a murderer. Does this give her carte blanche? MyTrueGreenLawn.com is offering $1,000 to play cornhole. Does beer come with that deal? A Chinese zoo is garnering hate after it was exposed as having a domesticated dog featured in its wild wolf enclosure. Worst zoo ever. A mom here in America has her 7-year-old daughter pay her bills. My hot mess of the day. When you wake up in the morning, you might be a hot mess, but you can get some sanity in your life, or maybe insanity in your life, depending on what day of the week it is. With the Joe Rose Show, weekdays from 6 to 10. Earlier, Joe, Zach, Hollywood, they're talking with Cameron Wolf about Isaiah Wilson, a little Van Noy surprise, and who do the Dolphins draft.
Cam, no days off, even though you're a new dad. You got to do both jobs now, every single day, 24 hours a day. Cam, thanks for the time this morning. And how about that trade yesterday? What'd you think about it? Isaiah Wilson coming to the Miami Dolphins for just a swap of seventh-round picks.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's the quintessential, definition of a buy low, low risk type trade for the Dolphins. And Chris Greer and Brian Flores have kind of made a routine of sort of taking chances on guys, giving them second chances. You know, they did it with Mark Walton. They did it with Robert Nkemdiche. They did it with Lynn Bowden. Guys who sort of wore out their welcome in their first place, and you hope that you get the talent out of them and not the off-the-field issues. So that's the same thing with Isaiah Wilson. He's a guy who was a first-round pick last year. I had heard the Dolphins liked him in the draft. He might have been an option for them in the second or third round if he didn't get taken by Tennessee. But now he had a really rough year, like rough year in Tennessee. And Miami essentially gets him for free and see if they can fix him.
Cam, let's move on to the other surprise here recently. How surprised are you on Kyle Van Noy? Or did you see that one coming?
I can't say I saw it coming. It makes sense to me once I think about it, honestly, because I think he had an up and down year. And at $12.5 million a year, I think that they can get better value with that money. But I just didn't expect them to move on from a deal, four-year, $51 million deal after 1 year. And I don't think that was their intention either when they signed it. So clearly he didn't live up to their expectations, and or the cap situation sort of forced their hands, because they didn't intend for him to only be here 1 year when they signed him.
Cam, I think you'll agree with this. You know, with Kyle Van Noy gone and being that unique linebacker that Coach Flores is looking that can do a lot of different things, and all the injured linebackers that we had last year, I think we're going to draft one pretty high. I think people are going to be a little surprised by that. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at where the Dolphins roster is, I think this is a big offseason for them to fix the offense. But that one position, if you're looking at the defense side of the ball, is that linebacker slash edge position. they can upgrade at either spot and maybe both spots. And that's sort of the benefit of having two first-round picks and two second-round picks in this draft. You can hit multiple needs. So, yeah, I think when you look at, you know, some of the options there at linebacker, there's plenty of versatile linebackers, which you can probably find in the second or third round. There's also some playmaking, you know, linebacker slash edge rushers that you can find in the first round that maybe they want to use for the 18th pick. So I definitely wouldn't be surprised if you see them use one or more, multiple of their day one and two picks on that linebacker edge rusher spot.
All right, so if the third pick overall stays put for the Miami Dolphins and wide receiver is maybe that first priority for this team to get at that spot, what's your order right now in your own Cam Wolf, you know, order of wide receivers that you'd like to see the Dolphins take at three?
Yeah, my guy is Devontae Smith, number one. I know I'm maybe a little bit in the minority there. Everybody talks about him being, you know, 120 pounds or whatever. But I love
you're a bad man, ball, Cam. Man. You're a bad guy.
That's every time I mention Devontae Smith's name, everybody talks about how, you know, my daughter probably weighs more than him. I was like, man, I don't really care how much he weighs, man. He played in the SEC. He took up the competition against Ohio State, Clemson. He played 4 years in Bama and looked great. Only got hurt one time. It was the last game of the year when he broke his finger on a drop pass. He's special. And I love Ja'Marr Chase too, but you know, Devontae Smith's ability to separate, his speed, his smoothness, his route running, in combination with Tua and the chemistry with him, for me, that would be my number one option. So I have, you know, Devontae Smith, number one, Ja'Marr Chase, number two, and then Jalen Waddle as number three as my my desired, you know, top three desired receivers for Miami.
You wouldn't be completely surprised if we saw the Dolphins move out of that third pick, right? You wouldn't be surprised to see him. I think it could happen.
In fact, I think if you're handicapping things, I might say that it's the favorite for it to happen if there's a buyer. You know, I think if you're looking at Miami, they're in a really, really good spot. You know, not too many teams, 10-win teams, have two top 20 picks without a, you know, must-get need. Usually, you have, okay, this team has to get a quarterback, or they have to get an offensive tackle. Yeah, we'd like for them to get a receiver at number three, but if they ended up getting one at, you know, 8 or 18, then it wouldn't be the end of the world. So I think you're looking at a situation for me. Todd McShay in ESPN did a mock draft the other day where he had the Dolphins trading back to number 8 with the Carolina Panthers and still getting Devontae Smith. And I think that would be a dream scenario. If you trade back 4 or 5 spots, still get one of those, you know, three receivers, ideally one of the two between Smith and Chase, then you pick up a first-round pick probably next year, and you're in great shape. So I think they definitely explore that trade back market, but it takes two to buy. So they would have to get something of value and feel good that their guy or one of their guys is still going to be there if they move back a few spots.
Cam, the Tua situation here, I know the team told you, you talked to GM and head coach, that Tua's our guy, that we're building around Tua. You still believe that 100%, or you think something else could jump up? What do you expect?
Hey, man, if I believed it 100%, I would be in a different business. I think that you take what people tell you at value to an extent. I think that the Dolphins' plan and everything I've heard directly from Brian Flores and Chris Greer and from other people inside the building privately is that they have been planning for Tua Tagovailoa to be their starting quarterback. Everything that they've done as far as offseason moves, as far as planning for free agency and the draft has been with the mindset that Tua is their starter. So I think that that's the plan. I don't think it's some secret where they're secretly planning to draft a quarterback or they're secretly, making their roster up for Deshaun Watson. I think that they're planning for Tua. Now, can that change? Absolutely. I think Deshaun would be the one plan changer if things, came into that respect. But right now, the Texans aren't even considering offers. He isn't really even on the market. And I think that there's definitely a real possibility that the Texans keep him through the draft. And if they keep him through the draft, then that sort of ends the Miami Deshaun Watson talk. So I think that, it's Tua unless, and this is a big if, Deshaun becomes available, and then they certainly would listen.
Is there a blatant number two priority position for you if wide receivers won in the draft that the Dolphins need to upgrade with that second pick? Like, if they get to 18 and there's a linebacker there, there's a pass rusher there, or there's a certain running back there that you might like, are you okay taking a running back at 18, even if there might be another position player, like a linebacker or a defensive end there or edge rusher there that you like?
Man, it's tough because, it's that position, the value of it, has really been beaten up over the last, 5 or 10 years. I mean, Najee Harris, I think he's a first-round talent. He would probably be the only one I would take in the first round, and I think that's the one you were mentioning. At 18, I think it could be a little high, but you've probably got, Pittsburgh back there at 24, or Buffalo at 30, so I don't know if you can wait if he's your guy. So it just depends how you feel about Najee Harris. I think if they took him at 18, I don't think it would be a big reach. I think that's probably his ceiling. But for me, if I was, if you're actually GM Cam Wolf, I think there isn't a huge drop-off for Javonte Williams, the North Carolina running back that you probably get in the second round. And for me, I'd probably wait to the second round and get him and then maybe use that other first-round pick on that defensive player, that linebacker, that edge rusher that could be a playmaker on the other side of the ball.
They got some dollars there. Do they go after a big free agent and spend some money on one person? You expect that or not?
I think they'll be aggressive for sure. I don't know if they end up making that splash ultimately. I think a lot of it's probably going to depend on who hits the market. We're looking at, there's a few receivers out there that would be intriguing. Chris Godwin, he's probably my favorite receiver out there available for the Dolphins. I don't know if he's getting tagged. There's been some reports that he might, but they also have a couple other guys. Allen Robinson's another one. He's been trying to test the market. So if one of those guys hits the market, they're probably making $20 million a year once they get signed. Do the Dolphins want to commit $20 million a year to a receiver? I think they'd love to have that receiver, but I don't know if they're willing to spend 20. So I think that's the big question there. I do think they'll be aggressive in adding really good players. It's just what level. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see them more on the level of, the $10 to $12 million guys. Maybe a Corey Lindsey or David Andrews at center, or if you're looking more at a receiver, a Curtis Samuel or Nelson Aguilar or T.Y. Hilton, guys are probably $8 to $10 million or $8 to $12 million range. For me, I think that's probably more likely where they end up in the free agency market.
How do you feel about Preston Williams coming back for year three, missing half the season of first two? How do they treat him coming back with all that talent and expected to be 100%?
Yeah, man, you can't count on him. Honestly, I'm just being frank. I mean, he's been hurt, and I know it's not his fault. Two season-ending injuries on sort of fluke situations. But you can't count on him to be a significant contributor going into the 2021 season. I think you have to treat it as if he is, and it's an extra benefit for us, but I don't think you can plan your roster around a guy who hasn't finished the season yet as a pro. So if I'm the Dolphins, I have him come in as a backup playing behind Devontae Parker and his position, and you hope between those two receivers you get 16 games worth of really good production, because both of those guys have had injury issues. And then you try to add on the other side, whether it be the other side of the starting spot or the slot spot. So for me, I don't think you can count on both Preston and Devontae to be 16-game starters. You hope that combined they put it together.
Cam, always great having you, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks, Cam.
Morning. Get back to being a father now, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, fellas.
Joe Rose knows the Dolphins inside and out. Heck, he caught Dan Marino's first touchdown pass as a pro. So be sure to listen to him mornings from 6 to 10. It'll get you off on the right foot. And then you can just keep the good vibrations going with Greeny. Here he is with Dan Orlovsky.
Too much is given, much is expected. And when you pay X player X amount of money, the expectation is risen.
More NFL breakdown with Greeny next here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Aloha, it's Dan Day. Had to play some Death Cab for Cutie lead singer Ben Gibbard's solo stuff. Proxima B. It's a really cool song about there being another planet that could be very much like Earth that could support life and maybe just going there and starting anew. Ben Gibbard really speaks to my soul. Oh, I love him and Death Cab for Cutie. Also, love Greeny, legend in the game. He is on from 10 to noon right here on 560 The Joe. Always has some of the best guests, like right now, talking with former QB and ESPN analyst Dan Orlovsky about Dak Prescott's expectations. Are the Cowboys the team to beat now in the NFC East, and the Seattle situation?
Good morning again, Dan Orlovsky.
Good morning, Greeny. Great to be with you, bud. Also, if you ever, if you've never told your kids to say hi to their knee, I'm disappointed.
Yes. Again, your kids are a lot younger than mine. I don't have a an active recollection of that, but I'm sure I did 18 years ago or something like that. But and you know Hembo. He's a fit little son of a gun, and on we go. All right, so let's get to business. So let's get through all the easy parts of this. We're all incredibly happy for Dak Prescott. Good for him. It's generational money. He stood up to the system. We get all of that. Let's put all of that on the table. You smashed an egg on your own head on television this morning, so you have now accepted all of the wrath of all of the haters out there. So all that has been tabled. Now let's get to the bottom line of it here. When you get paid like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson get paid, people are going to expect you to play like those guys. Can Dak Prescott do that?
He never has. He never has. And so I said this on the show yesterday. Too much is given, much is expected. And when you pay X player X amount of money, the expectation is risen. And now we are all going to ask Dak Prescott to do something he's never done. Okay, 2016, the rookie season, he's really, really good. Only 22 touchdowns or something like that, four picks. Like, he was the fourth round pick of a very good roster, okay? Like, he stepped in and played good football. Ever since then, he's been good. But he's never carried the team. 2 years ago on the road against your New York Jets, Tyron Smith is out. The Jets were awful. Got to win that game. Can't because Tyron Smith is out. 2 years ago, he's playing bad football. They got to go trade for Amari Cooper. Now he's starting to play good football. So at some point, there's going to be moments where Dak Prescott is going to have to carry the team. Guys are out. Guys aren't playing well. Defense stinks. When you pay him that much money, he's got to be the absolute difference maker. And we've never seen Dak Prescott be a difference maker. We've seen him be good. We've seen him play good football. We've seen him have really good stats. We've never seen him be the absolute difference maker.
See, this is where it gets complicated, because the stats would suggest, and you know the man sitting to my left, Hembo, who was constantly throwing statistics at you and me and everybody else, is going to point out that Dak's numbers do put him in that stratosphere, that his QBR, for example, which is the ultimate measurement of a quarterback's impact on winning, was as good as Deshaun Watson's, that he is, the numbers are that good. So what is it you're seeing? I trust you more than I trust numbers. Tell me what it is we're not seeing.
I'd say this. I've never witnessed Dak Prescott take over the football game against a meaningful opponent where you're like, oh, wow. Here we go. We're on the road in a game where 2 years ago on the road against Philadelphia, they're a bad football team or an average football team, and they got to go win, and it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Come on, man. Like, go be the guy. Go be the absolute guy that we – like, when you get the football, we believe you're going to get it done. Like, we just know you're going to get it done. And we just haven't seen that stretch. And I think that we've seen quarterbacks that get that payment of Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, that we believe that. Like, we just know that. I'd ask around. I would challenge everybody to, outside of Cowboys fans, ask your buddies who watch football religiously or people within the NFL. If Russell Wilson or Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Deshaun Watson or even Lamar Jackson get the ball late in a football game, do we have memory of them being the person we were like, doesn't matter, that game's over, that quarterback's got the ball? We don't have that memory with Dak Prescott. That hasn't happened. You could throw the stats out there all you want. I could throw stats back, too. So I just don't think I've seen him be a player that we point to and say can't survive without him.
Dan Orlovsky with me on the Goodyear Hotline on ESPN Radio. The number against it is, and you pointed it out on TV this morning, in the last 4 years, when Dak Prescott is the starting quarterback, the Cowboys are 7-18 against winning teams. And in those games, he has 37 touchdowns and 36 turnovers. So that is what it is. You're right. We can make numbers say a lot of different things if we want them to. Bottom line, how good are they? The Cowboys, to me, are a mess. I think Washington is, my personal opinion, a much better team. We don't know who their quarterback is yet, and neither do they. That'll probably get figured out in the next week or so with free agency, and maybe it's someone like Ryan Fitzpatrick or Marcus Mariota. But who's the best? Who's the team to beat in that division next year, Dan Orlovsky?
I'd say it's the Cowboys. The fact that we're having a conversation is a joke. They just paid their quarterback $160 million. This should be a no-brainer. I'd say it's the Cowboys, but it's not an overwhelming say for me because I don't know what's going on at the quarterback spot with Washington, like you pointed out. I don't know how healthy Saquon Barkley is. I can tell you this. I believe they're going to franchise tag Leonard Williams, the Giants, and Daniel Jones stays healthy, and they get one receiver, Saquon Barkley is healthy, I like the Giants. I really do. I believe in that defense. I think that Daniel Jones has the opportunity to take a step with another offensive piece. And if Saquon's healthy, I like the Giants. If Washington somehow gets a difference maker at quarterback, I like them just as much. The Dallas Cowboys defense, I sat on your show last year around this time and said the Dallas Cowboys defense was going to be boo-boo. And I got so much flack for it. The Dallas Cowboys defense was boo-boo. And so it's still the same defense. And so the Cowboys are the favorite because they have Dak, and there's unknown with the other two teams. That could very easily change in 2 months.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Giants, by the way, about a lot of things. But it is Washington I like, and I will tell you why. Now, granted, 7-9 won the division last year, but it was Washington that did it, and they had the worst quarterback play in the NFL last season. By QBR, they had the worst quarterback play in the sport. They practically have nowhere but up to go, and they managed to win the division. And they've got great pieces on defense. Two good
Greeny,
running backs.
The podcast.
They have a good young receiver. Add a few pieces here or there. I kind of like Washington in that spot going forward.
I would agree with you. I would say that Washington is two impactful players on offense, three good players on offense from me believing in them. Yeah. They need to get one offensive lineman that I think is a good player. You're a starting a quality starting offensive lineman in the NFL. They need another receiver outside of Terry McLaurin. Now, Harmon's coming back. We'll see if he's healthy. They've got a good slot. The tight end position is something that surprised some people last year with their performance. And so I think a good offensive lineman, that's the thing, Greeny. We just don't know. And so I'm a huge fan of Washington. I think both teams are better coached. I think both teams have more reliable front offices. That's a lot saying Washington. I believe in Martin Mayhew there. So I think both teams are better coached, but we still have a question mark at the most important spot.
And again, the Giants have the longest odds, according to William Hill at Caesars. What are they again, Hembo? What are the Giants?
Almost like 5-1.
Almost 5-1.
I would bet that.
To win that division.
That.
Me too.
I'm not a gambler. I would bet that.
It could be an interesting way to sneak a good little bet there. Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Okay. I want to ask you about one other situation. And that is this thing in Seattle. So for those who didn't see it, the Seattle Seahawks sent out a letter to their season ticket holders. Just a thing about next, teams, if you've ever been a season ticket holder, you get letters from the team from time to time. And in the letter, they mention, I believe, five different active players on the team. And one of them is not Russell Wilson. Now, Dan, you played in Indianapolis. There were no circumstances. You tell me, or I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. You played in Detroit. Would those teams have ever sent a letter to their season ticket holders that did not mention Peyton Manning or Matt Stafford if they did mention players in the letter? Would that ever happen? And understanding that the answer is going to be no, what should we make of the fact that Seattle did that?
Seattle wants to dance. They want to play hardball with Russell Wilson. You want to leak all that stuff? You want to make all those statements? You want your agent to throw out teams there? Fine. We'll play that way as well. We're sick and tired of it, Russell. That's what I think they're saying. You're not above the team. You're not above our organization. We love you. We think you're a great player. But we're not going to allow you to dictate to us how this is going to go. I've said this for weeks. He wants out. He wants out now. This isn't about football. This is about getting out. And I think the Seattle Seahawks are starting to sit there and go, we're not going to let you to control the narrative.
Dominique made an interesting point about this. You ask yourself, why does he want out of Seattle? Here might be a reason. That Dominique was supposing that Russell may look at this as though he was waiting out the Brady, Peyton Manning era. Like those guys were going to be Aaron Rodgers. They were going to be the best quarterbacks in the sport. And then he was going to be next. And he kind of got jumped. Like, it went right from those guys to Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen. We talk about all these guys, and Russell is saying, what about me? I was supposed to be the face of the league, and maybe the fact that I play on a team where the coach wants to run the ball so much is part of the reason why I'm not viewed that way. I'm good enough to be, and I want to be. Kind of made some sense to me. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I absolutely think that's a layer to it, because he doesn't want to be the guy that we have the asterisk attached to. We say Aaron Rodgers is the best ever, one of the most talented ever, but why did he win only one Super Bowl? You know, and I think that he's sitting there going, I don't want to be, man, Russell Wilson is one of the best we've ever seen, but why did he win only one Super Bowl? And I think that they don't want to be Tom Brady, 2019 Tom Brady, where you're with a football team that you know is not good and you got no chance to win. You're still good enough, but you know the team isn't. I just think there's so many layers to it, Greeny, outside of, you know, just, hey, my offensive line doesn't block well enough for me. I think it's bigger than football. I think it's bigger. It's as big as Russell Wilson wants to be the Magic Johnson of the NFL, and he wants his brand to be huge.
I think that it makes a lot of sense, and frankly, I don't criticize it if that's how he sees it. Dan Orlovsky, you were terrific this morning, as always. Thank you for making the time. I'll see you soon.
You're the man, Greeny. Thanks, brother. Later, Hembo.
The football season never ends, and Greeny's always going to have you covered. Hawk and Crowder, the fun never ends with them. They're talking to Clay Ferrero.
But I think you would agree, not a good look for Myers-Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much base level what you have to start with. I mean, we'll obviously see what comes out of that.
A Ferrero side chat in just a few minutes right here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 of the past 24 hours. What up? I am Dan Day. In just a few minutes, Doug Plagan's going to have the call of the Panthers game. But first, let's get to some Hawk and Crowder. They're talking with Clay Ferraro about Myers-Leonard in a slip of the lip, the NBA All-Star game, and the Heat's free agent hunt.
Love me some Run DMC. This is an all-time banger.
Oh, this is a great song. All generations.
Great song. You remember this music video by any chance?
No. Absolutely. I was probably 1 or 2 years old.
Do you remember? Let's bring on Clay Ferraro here. I'll give you your official intro here in a second, Clay. But do you remember the Run DMC It's Tricky video?
I don't remember the video. I remember the song, obviously.
I think the video, weren't they in a helicopter? Or am I thinking of a different
song? I mean,
you
seem to be the only one in this conversation that remembers the video, so.
Well, maybe I don't, because now I'm looking it up, and I'm not certain that it's what I thought it was.
I love that. You ask Channing if he remembers it, then you ask me if I remember it, and then you ask us if it was in a helicopter after we tell you, no, we don't remember it.
Yeah, I'm not certain that I remember it. I don't think it's in a helicopter.
Well, welcome to my life, Clay. Welcome to my life.
All right, let's bring on Clay Ferraro here officially. Clay Ferraro, sports anchor and reporter at Local 10 here in Miami. There's a little bit of a story brewing with Myers-Leonard of the Miami Heat. He uttered on one of these video games. What video game? Was he on Twitch, Solana? Is that what was happening there?
Yeah, I'm looking at the video now. I won't play the audio, but it sounds like he's playing Warzone, a Call of Duty Warzone.
So he's a big gamer, and he calls someone a very derogatory term for a Jewish person, and it's like spreading like wildfire. Not a good look for Myers Leonard. I don't really have a question for you, Clay, but I think you would agree, not a good look for Myers Leonard.
That's pretty much base level what you have to start with. I mean, we'll obviously see what comes out of that, what he has to say, because I don't know how something like that comes out and you don't address it at some point very soon. But I think it's going to be something that we're going to have to hear about from him very, very shortly.
Crowder and I were talking about it. Like, he's going to say, I didn't know what that word meant, because it's certainly not a word that's used often. But, man, if you're using it, then you're around people that are using it if you don't know what it means. It's the K word for all my Jewish friends.
And he's injured, too. Like, I know injured guys don't have to talk or not supposed to talk. They're going to make him come talk out of that protocol because of this, like, the Heat have to jump on top of this, right?
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't even thought about that. The fact that when you're injured, you're not part. But I thought didn't he meet with the media a couple weeks ago? I thought even though he was hurt, he was talking about what he was doing behind the scenes. So it may be one of those things where I don't know that you can force someone if they're in that position. But I would think that, man, if you're Myers Leonard, you would have to try to get out in front of this as soon as possible. So, yeah, go ahead.
I think the course of action, did you see Papa John yesterday? The course of action is, what was it, 20 months, Crowder? 20 months to rid your vocabulary.
He's been training the N-word out of his vocabulary for 20 months. Yeah.
That's Papa John, so I would imagine Myers Leonard can do the same with the K-word, 20 months. So we'll talk with him in 2023, and we'll see how things are going. Clay, did you watch any of the NBA All-Star game on Sunday? I don't know if this even appeals to you or not. I love All-Star weekend. I love the NBA All-Star weekend. I like Saturday night usually more than the game on Sunday, but it was all, contracted into one evening this season. So did you watch any of NBA All-Star Sunday?
I watched a little bit of the game, and then it became pretty clear that that LeBron, the GM, was so far superior to Kevin Durant, the GM, that it wasn't even worth watching anymore. But it was fun watching Steph early. That was the one thing I took out of it in the three-point contest, too. I think we kind of forgot just how great and how fun he is. And, that Warriors team, I think because they went the other way and kind of became the New York Yankees of the NBA for a little while when Kevin Durant joined them, like, we kind of forgot how fun that rise was and some of the stuff that they did that kind of revolutionized what the NBA was. And so that part was fun. But, beyond that, it became pretty clear pretty quickly that that wasn't going to be much of a contest. And so we went on about our work of what we were going to do for Sports Sunday.
And Clay, do you even watch the people that talk about, oh, no defense is played? Do you even go into the All-Star game expecting defense to be played? It's not like this is the third year of the All-Star game. We've been watching this thing since we were kids.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. And I think some of that stuff, like, you're watching because of the high wire acts and the fun stuff. And, like, I'm with Hawk. I like the Saturday night stuff better. And then this year, the pool for the dunk contest, last year it was Derrick Jones Jr. and Aaron Gordon, and this year it was like, okay, you got some players who may eventually turn into household names, but it wasn't what it was in the past. And I'll say this about the whole defense thing. I feel like part of that, it was going away anyway, but I think part of that went away once you lost kind of this East versus West stuff. And part of that was, look, again, I mean, it's not like they were playing a whole lot of defense before, but I remember Michael Jordan would talk trash about Kobe and being the young player on the rise and wanting to hold him to a certain number. And then I remember very distinctly that when Shaq was a rookie, it was like the Western Conference centers got together and said, we are not going to let him do anything. We're going to make his life miserable in this game. So there used to be a little bit of that rivalry feel, kind of like the American League National League was for years in the baseball All-Star game. But all that stuff has kind of gone away. And so I think it's kind of hurt a little bit of the interest and the excitement in the game itself.
But that Saturday night used to be fun. And I loved the
competition. That's
even
fun.
This Sunday night. Yeah, it was fun. Clay Ferreiro is with us from Local 10. Would Blake Griffin have interested you as a Heat fan?
Not really. Did you see the video that was on Twitter about Eric Reed, like just putting all the
tortured him the entire game that they played. I mean, just eviscerated Blake Griffin.
Like our producer Dookie Leg has a saying, and he's right. Like immediately when somebody says "no disrespect" or "with all due respect," they're immediately about to disrespect you. it felt like everything that he said was "no disrespect." He used to be one of the best players in the league, but ... And so right. I was dying. But I don't know what he would have brought to this team, and frankly, I'm not sure what he's going to bring to Brooklyn. I thought they said something about playing like a small ball five off the bench, but that's kind of, you know, when you're looking at the buyout market in the NBA, Bobby Marks wrote something the other day about just how little production teams get out of players on the buyout market. Morris helped the Lakers a little bit last year, but that's kind of like the tippy top of what you can get. I mean, there's a reason why Blake Griffin was bought out. There's a reason why the Pistons were perfectly happy to pay what, like $60 million or whatever it was for the next 2 years just to let him go. I mean, I'm not expecting a whole lot.
And I know we talk about this every couple weeks, Clay, but speaking about the free agents, like, yeah, Blake Griffin didn't do it to me. I think he's washed. He's nothing like the Clippers, Blake Griffin. But is anybody else? Because I'm hearing P.J. Tucker still. I'm hearing Victor Oladipo, Andre Drummond still out there. Is anybody, now that you're seeing more Heat play and that, you know, they're kind of coming around to the team we thought they were going to be, does any of those free agents still pique your, you know, pique your attention?
It's hard. I think you're going to have to be selective, because it feels like you've got so many teams in the East, especially, that I think feel like they're close, which means, man, they're all going to be looking to add that piece. The thing that the Heat are going to have to figure out is, look, they don't have the draft picks that other teams may have to trade. They have young players and some young players that they like. So, you know, at what point do you look at this and say, okay, player X is going to be worth giving up a player that we think could be a part of our future? Because, you know, you can't, some of these trades that people come up with on social media, like trading your 11th guy off the bench for some guy that's going to come in and average 15 points a game, like, you got to be realistic. So you got to look at a player and say, okay, if this is truly a seller's market right now, which it appears to be, are you willing to give up somebody like a Tyler Hero or a Duncan Robinson who may come in and just get a few minutes off your bench or may start but may or may not be a difference-making type player? Because that's kind of what the market may be looking like right now. So, you know, there are some names that interest me. Somebody like Rudy Gay, Nemanja Bjelica. I mean, those are the types of guys who I think could probably come in and help you out a little bit, but at what cost? And, excuse me, maybe a Harrison Barnes. But again, you're talking about having to give up somebody who's probably going to be a part of your future, and you're also going to have to pay a lot on that contract.
We read yesterday, Ira Winderman did grades for the Miami Heat for the first half of the season. All right, I don't know if you read his column in the Sun Sentinel. Strangely enough, Myers Leonard got a K. Now, what did Ira know before we knew it? Anyway, his letter grade, K, incomplete, I-N-K.
Hockman is just trying to bring us all down with him. Like, I can sense that, right?
I can tell you that I'm pretty certain Myers Leonard is not a fan of Juju Smith-Schuster. But anywho, these are the letter grades that
to be associated with.
Clay, you should hear what I deal with during the breaks, man. I always leave to get a drink.
Hey, refuse to be associated with Myers Leonard, not me.
Did you put your resume online? Was that what you did? Just because you know that you could guilt by association you out of this job?
There's nobody guilty here but Myers Leonard. I think you guys have the story a little wrong. But I think, in all honesty, I think Clay is probably fairly representative of most of the public. I don't think a lot of people know what the K word is. Like, I don't think people really know how offensive. Okay, but here's the thing, though. I mean, when's the last time you've ever heard a Jewish person referred to as that? I mean, you just don't hear it anymore.
Can I tell you honestly, the story of how I know what it is, and this is the honest truth, and this probably goes down the line of the stories that we normally tell on this show, because when we try to talk about sports, it gets too boring. When I was a kid, my mom liked to watch the Jerry Springer Show, and this was like right when Jerry Springer started to like rise into whatever the empire was that he was for a little while. And it was a show about people who had Tourette's syndrome. Somebody blurted out.
Blurting it out.
Yes, yes. Right. And rhyming the
Maybe
word
Myers Leonard as Tourette's.
Right, and rhyming the word with something else. And I didn't know what it meant, and my mom had to explain it to me, and I was like, well, that's awful. But that was when I heard about the word, and that stuck with me. And so whenever I hear the word, the first thing I think of is that show that I watched when I was a kid. I'm gonna text it to you off the air just so you know what I'm talking. I'm gonna text you exactly what this person with Tourette syndrome was saying. You can choose to do with it what you want on the air, but yeah, I'll let you know what it's.
No, I am going to screenshot it and say I can't believe I just got this text from Clay Ferrero. I think he's Team Myers.
This is what I mean. This is what I mean. You're gonna guilt by association all of us and take us down with you, and that's what I'm trying to avoid here.
Wait, I'm getting sidetracked. Here. So Ira did grades for the Heat for the first half of the season. He only gave one Heat player an A. Do you want to guess who?
Trying to think. The only person that would come to mind, even though he's missed a lot of games, would be Jimmy.
Yep. What? No, it was. It was Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. I can understand that. I do feel like... I think it's a little unfair at times, and this isn't specifically at Ira because it's everybody is saying this, but I think it's a little unfair at times that we kind of forget just what Bam brings to the table because we're kind of wanting more. And I understand that. Like, I feel like people see him and they're like, man, you're knocking down that mid-range. Now you can kind of do what you want on the floor. But I think sometimes we forget just how much energy he expends doing so much other stuff. And so, look, I'm not trying to, like, advocate for him getting a higher letter grade, but I feel like we need to at least appreciate that, man. Sometimes that man does stuff that, as cliche as it sounds, it's not going to show up in your box score unless you look at the plus-minus of the guys that he's guarding and what they were shooting while he was guarding them.
Clay Ferrero with Hawk and Crowder, always great. Doug Plagans is next. He's always great with the Panthers. Hopefully win. I am Dan Day. You've been great here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Later, slug.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.